Okay. Four.
Sorry, we're adding an item.
No, that's okay. I mean, that's what I do.
Good suggestion, Chris.
I really think. How'd you call me that?
If we have a chance afterwards, I'd like to talk to you.
Okay. I think we're gonna get started again. So, let's go on to five on the notes paper here. Include provisions for a non-renewable short-term, less than 12-month lease with terminations of tenancy without relocation fees after term of lease.
So I know that this is not directly related to RAC business, but it was when I was thinking about, you know, the ordinance, and I was thinking about the value of having a group of landlords and tenants and homeowners able to talk about the ordinance, you know, in a sort of neutral way. I thought maybe this is something that I was wondering we could address. I remember once going to a educational workshop about the ordinance, and it was one of the things that some of the landlords were concerned about. You know, I'm a homeowner, so what if I wanted to go to Europe for 6 months and I wanted to rent out my house for 6 months? It doesn't seem like there's any way I can do that in the ordinance. It seems because it's, you know, it says that every new prospective tenant you have to offer a lease of 12 months to.
Milt, proposal though, are you saying that you'd like to have RAC be able to offer this as one of the ways to deal with the rent increase? Or
no, I said I think the ordinance should be modified. I think this should be added to the ordinance, or the ordinance needs
allowing
to be modified.
Short-term rentals?
To allow for this.
Well,
I don't understand why it's not in there. I don't understand.
Apart from the merits of having this in or not, my concern is that it has nothing to do with RAC. It's a request for a change to the ordinance, which I think is a fine thing for you to request it. But as far as RAC coming up and discussing this, it has really nothing to do with RAC. And so while we could all individually get behind it, I don't think it's appropriate for us to be discussing it as part of our inputs.
I think you could send an email to our city attorney to make that recommendation as a resident.
Okay. All right.
Well, but that's just my opinion. You know, I don't make the laws here. We kind of discussed it, so I'd like to hear what the...
I also don't think it's under our purview.
Okay.
Yes, fast.
Sorry, Mel.
No, it's okay. I was just thinking about all the things about the ordinance that I, you know.
Okay, I have one more. I guess it's going to be item six, which
could
is...
Actually, Chris had one too.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah,
sorry.
So,
okay, so one thing that you brought up earlier and occasionally gets brought up is during our meetings is the fact that there is the hearing officer, and I think that's a very useful and very effective part of the meeting, but I think sometimes it makes the parties less willing to talk and come together and negotiate, because we've seen several times where one party's stuck at this, one party's stuck at that, and they won't even talk. They're like, we'll just go to the hearing officer. Or alternatively, we see a tenant come. I think in one case they came and said, we're just going to appeal to the hearing officer, and that this was just a step to get to the hearing officer. They were not interested in what we were going to do and what we were going to decide, or even in, you know, talking about the issue. It was just, I'm going to delay the rent increase as long as possible. So I think that's an issue, and I don't know how to address it, but I think it kind of hinders us in some cases that it's so easy to appeal. And I also think it's a tool that tenants can hold over a landlord to delay the process as long as possible.
Let me ask a question of Claudia, because she would know. Claudia, this is a request to staff. How many RAC decisions have been appealed?
So only one has been appealed and was withdrawn. So yeah. None have gone to a hearing officer.
No, okay, so...
So they've accepted your recommendation.
Then I withdraw my... It seems like it was a lot more prevalent than...
No, I agree with you. We've heard people say that. And they're insisting that, but bear in mind that they have, what, 2 weeks?
10 days.
10 days to do that. And within the 10 days, they decide that, well, maybe it's just not worth it.
Because
there are some barriers to the appeal process, too. You know, I mean, this is not a more formal process, because now you're getting out of the HA domain entirely and going back to the legal department in Alameda. This is a serious thing.
You know, the presence of the appeal also is really, really supports how we're able to function. Because there's an appeal, we can function much more informally.
No, and I support the appeal process, and at no point did I not. It's just been used as a tool, or I've heard it be threatened to be used as a tool, and I was under the impression it was actually used a lot more often than never.
Bargaining tactics, but it's not an issue, right?
It's not an issue.
If it's not an issue, it's not an issue.
I withdraw that.
Great.
Then we come to mind. The way that Ordinance 3148 is presently administered is if the landlord and tenant come to an agreement prior to RAC, the case is closed. I would like that verbiage to appear somewhere in the collateral material or in the ordinance itself. And the reason I say it is because I've had some landlords come to me saying, this is a pain in the butt. Every time I increase rents increasing rents on an exempt property, but it's less than 5%, but the tenant then appeals and I have to fly all the way from South Carolina here to appear before RAC, to which I said, no, if you can get together with the tenant, then HA will close the case. And he says, that doesn't appear anywhere in the ordinance. I said, well, no, it doesn't, but that's the way that they actually operate, is they're pretty reasonable people. You know, and Michael Rauch supports this, that, look, if the tenant landlord come to their agreement, they've come to their agreement. And we will stop the process of it going through RAC. So not every case that gets open comes to RAC. In fact, very, very few of them come to RAC. 14 cases out of 245.
There is a, right? Maybe you're not aware of this, but 658.75, section D, says, if prior to the hearing, the landlord and tenant reach agreement as to the rent increase, the landlord and tenant must inform the program administrator in writing concerning the terms.
Yes, but it doesn't say what happens.
Oh,
it just
details.
Says they have to
the
inform details. Them.
Case it doesn't closed. Say that there's the case is closed.
The case doesn't. It doesn't say the case is closed.
I see.
You know, so they say, okay, fine. If we reach agreement, we have to keep these guys informed. But what actually happens? Well, the point is that nowhere in the ordinances or in the procedure I've seen anywhere does it say what actually happens, that the case is open and closed by HA.
So you would like to add additional language that says the case is then considered closed.
Right,
well, you know exactly. What's interesting about that, and I never realized this, but presumably we have the option of agreeing or disagreeing with any agreement that they make.
Who
I mean,
that
the way it's currently written, we still have to come to a decision.
Four cases which appear before RAC, we do.
No. Any case. I mean, the way it's written.
So I think what you're saying is not really just the case is closed. The case will be withdrawn from the RAC process.
The case is closed and the RAC hearing is terminated.
I understand what you're suggesting, and it seems to me though that in fact what am I saying? That we haven't been following the ordinance up till now.
Well, that's an interesting point. What I was just referring to is what practice has been.
Yeah, yeah.
What you're referring to is a question of whether that's the right practice.
What are you referring to?
Well, okay, yeah. So what?
Yeah, good question.
According to the ordinance, if a landlord requests a rent increase of greater than 5%, then they have to request the committee to review the rent increase.
Correct.
And then the next thing that happens is that the committee renders a decision. So any time that the rent increase is made, is requested greater than 5%, then it enters a process that does not end and cannot end until the committee renders a decision. Every one of the cases that comes to the Housing Authority should lead to a committee decision, according to the ordinance.
Right.
Now, that hasn't been followed.
That is correct, but then this goes back to my wording, because this comes down to, if you look at 658.75D as in dog, this is the paragraph which says that they have to inform the program manager of the agreement.
Right. They becomes part of the case.
Then that's the question, isn't it? Should that become part of the case? The case is still heard, or does that close the case and the case isn't heard?
Well, right now there's nothing that says it closes the case. You're suggesting it should stay there.
No. I'm suggesting that that's what's happening. I'm not saying that's such a great idea.
So before 6-5.8-85, it says if prior to the hearing.
Yeah. If they reach an agreement, then they notify the program. But there's nothing to say that the case is closed.
So according to our city attorney, I think the intent is that they would notify the program administrator and the case could then be removed to be heard before RAC. And I think what Robert is saying
clarified.
Is that we don't have that language. If that is the intent.
So the language will.
So he would like to add that language to say that the case is then considered closed and withdrawn from the RAC process.
For RAC review.
And what I hear Milt saying is he questions whether that really is the intent.
Well,
if
the city attorney makes a ruling, I accept that.
Right. Well, but
I'm not going to go to court to question the
city attorney should make a ruling.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, but he did.
So I'm going to make that recommendation.
Well, but I don't know if he has or not. I certainly haven't seen it. But it isn't in here. But we should certainly request a ruling to be made in the verbiage to reflect whatever ruling is made. Right? That's all I'm really saying.
I really don't want to be deciding on cases that have already been decided.
That's
just really procedural. And
right, and then there's a question of what happens after a RAC decision, and I think this has been raised a few times in my mind. We make a decision on a binding decision, and then what happens if after the binding decision the landlord and the tenant reach their own decision, which is not the same as ours?
Has that ever happened?
That's an interesting situation, isn't it?
But has it happened?
Has it happened? And do we know if it's happened? Because we have binding decisions and they're documented as the binding decision. This is what has to happen. But is that what
can
really...
Can you repeat the question?
This is a very interesting question. If RAC makes a decision, and it's a binding decision, and after that binding decision is made, the landlord and tenant reach their own decision, which is different, does that decision supersede our binding decision, or does our binding decision supersede that? First question, has it ever happened? And second question, even if it hasn't happened, shouldn't we have some decision about that? Because the point is that there's a lot of emphasis being placed on landlord and tenant making their own decisions here. My concern is that that creates some ambiguity with respect to what RAC is doing. And my personal opinion is that a binding decision is a binding decision. But now you're talking about RAC's done binding decision versus conventional contract law. Now you're getting into Michael Rauscher's domain, you know. Can the binding decision of RAC be superseded by a free decision by a landlord intended to do something different?
Yes.
I would support that.
But are we inventing an issue?
Wait, what?
Well, that's the first
question. It's not an issue right now.
Well, if it hasn't ever happened, then don't worry about it.
Yeah. It has never happened.
Okay, cool. All
right. It's happened just as many times as my issues happen.
Well, see, you can pull one, I can pull one, right? Chris, okay.
We'll have a special meeting over there about things that haven't happened.
Special meeting, you two. Special meeting about things that haven't happened.
I want to throw one more thing on here, and it is not... I have had a lot of feedback from tenants on a certain issue, which I think is a misunderstanding. So I wondered if we could put some kind of language into the process about people have expressed concern that when cases are in fact closed, or should have been closed, and they don't come before the RAC, that the information is lost. What rent increases,
So let me see if this is what you're asking.
Well, can I finish real quick?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, and I always, my response has been, and correct me if I'm wrong, that any agreement between two parties doesn't, if people come to an agreement before they come to the RAC, that's the business. The public knowledge, right, about what happens is about this process. When folks come here to a public meeting, you know, what happens privately between these two folks is between them. And so I wondered if somehow we could add some kind of language to make clear that rent issues and contracts between parties that are outside the RAC process, the staff is not required to submit that to the public? Am I wrong on that?
So I just want to let you know, so private agreements right now between a tenant and a landlord, neither party is required to submit the details of those agreements. Right. They're only required to let us know that they've come to an agreement.
Right.
However, we do offer the option, we have a template agreement that has where you check off from this range to this range. And we offer that as an option for those that want to disclose.
Right, which is why I read it out loud at the meetings, because that way people have an idea, but it's not a requirement, right?
Right, it's not a requirement.
Right. I think people are under the mistaken impression that there's some kind of data that the RAC is withholding, and that's just not what it is. So I'm wondering if, because I've had many, many, many people ask me, like at least a dozen, and I'm wondering if we could add some kind of language that makes clear that any information given is voluntary and it's not a requirement to give that to the public.
I respectfully disagree, but then I also understand this is probably not a RAC issue. But let me rephrase this. Let me back up a bit. The way I look at it is when a RAC case is open, it's a RAC issue. That is, conversely, if a landlord increases rent above 5%, he is now moved into the public domain. The reason I say it is because this speaks to the data gathering intent portion of the ordinance. We're going to track the RAC, is what the city council said. So if you, Mr. Landlord, want to increase rent above 5%, you got to realize something, which is it starts a process going, which is automatic, which causes a lot of data to be collected on your property and what you think about it, and also the tenant side. And yet the case can be closed without revealing the reason for closing it. The reason for closing it being the data which is being missed, this is a data issue. The data which is not being collected is what is the final rent. Now that's a delicate issue because this, yes, it is private, but I go back to the intent of the ordinance, and the question of the intent of the ordinance is really an important question. In terms of collecting the information on the rental situation within Alameda, isn't it valuable to know how rents above 5% are being settled? And so I've raised this issue to Claudia in HA, and what I've been told is that the legal opinion is that that's a private matter and so it should remain a private matter. Well, I can understand that. I think myself it should be revisited, but it doesn't really legitimately fall, I think, into what we do as RAC. I mean, it's an ordinance issue. I understand it's an ordinance issue. I'm very happy to carry this, you know, personally. It's just an individual. I don't think it, and because it mitigates the data is the problem. It's very hard to say what really is happening in Alameda if you have the categories, in my view. But that's just my view. That's not really a RAC thing. And as far as we're concerned about RAC, I don't think that it makes that much of a difference to us making our decisions. If we know that the landlord and tenant are happy with what they decided, you know, as far as RAC purposes are concerned, that's sufficient, I think.
I guess my concern was specifically that when we have the meetings and we have six cases that are closed but they're on the agenda, and when I read through them and say, you know,
what the range is.
Yeah. Right. Sometimes I have information and I read it, and sometimes I don't. And I've had feedback that says, why aren't you giving us the data on those?
I just want to clarify that staff does provide the data when we're giving the data. And I think part of the reason maybe why both parties may not want to disclose the information, maybe it could be more from the landlord side, is because you have other tenants and that private agreement unit. Mm-hmm. Is for that unit and can't be compared, right. And then you're going to have that issue.
So my concern
that should be part of like a preface or something.
Right, that's what I was thinking. Right. Is there some language that we could add either to the website or to the RAC process, mm-hmm. Saying that, or maybe even a blurb I read, does it seem reasonable to say that we communicate all information that we receive from cases that are agreed upon and closed before they come to this RAC process, but if we don't have the information, it's not.
We can add that to our monthly reports, I think.
Maybe. Yeah, I think that's more of a procedural thing, like at the beginning of the meeting, than something you'd put into the ordinance, but
yeah.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, I agree
with that. I'm not necessarily about putting it into the ordinance.
I think one of the things you might want to say is that the data is now available on the HA website.
I mean, yes.
All the cases open. I mean, if people are really interested, they can go to the HA website and they can look at, which I did, look at all the cases submitted to date. All 245 of them are there.
I'm confused about whether the data about the size of the rent increase is reported to you.
Excuse me.
To the housing.
Yes, for when the landlord submits, so we get all of that data. So that's the initial data, and that's the data you'll see on the reports now. When we're talking about the private agreements,
yeah,
if we have that data available, it is noted in our report.
Okay.
But they have the option to not
give us
the details of the agreement, of the private agreement.
Okay. So
in almost all cases, they report categories. Ranges.
I see.
0 to 5%, 5% to 10, 10% and above.
So there is this, you know, this if prior to the meeting, the landlord and tenant reach agreement. At the end of that, it says that the landlord and tenant must inform the program administrator in writing concerning the terms of the agreement as to the rent increase. So it sounds as though the landlord and tenant must report the rent increase.
The quantity.
Terms of the agreement, yeah.
So the way that they've done that is to have the form.
But it's a range.
It's a range.
It's not the exact.
So that's how they're going to do that. I don't know. Should they be doing it? I think that's a question that we'd have to ask the council members or community.
I just wanted
to
bring that up.
Yeah.
That's actually a good point, but that's a matter of interpretation. And I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, has already been interpreted. I mean, that's why they have to the range on the form, at least that's what I was told, was that
in the city.
That they have already interpreted what terms means.
Okay. So are there other issues we want to get to, because we wanted to kind of wrap up and have a vote on the issues we already had? Does anyone have anything else that they want to add, no. They want to touch on?
The only thing I would ask would be to get a quick recap of everything we've actually decided on.
Right, and right. Well, we're going to do that.
Yeah, and then we're going to vote on making sure that those recommendations get communicated.
So did you want to do your public comment?
Do
you want me to formalize these and then?
The first one is, you want mediation defined in 3148. Add language about mediation in the RAC process. Encourage pre-mediation and formalize it as an option or part of the RAC process. A written process and description for the public to understand the pre-mediation option.
Right.
Yes.
So I would like to reduce all of that to say that we would like mediation to be offered prior to the RAC hearing.
Can I make a slight verbiage change?
Yeah.
I would like mediation to be encouraged, not just offered.
Offered and encouraged? It should be offered, right? Is that right? Shouldn't it be offered?
I guess he has a point. Otherwise, if it's just
as being available?
No, I actually support what Brendan is saying. I think it should be encouraged as well.
But does that mean by somebody else? I mean, you know, you should go off and get mediation somewhere?
I think what he's saying is offered and encouraged, so you have both, because if it's just encouraged, then, you know, they can go off and do their own.
But if it's offered, then
it's being provided by the city.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I'm just guessing that's all we're saying. I don't know what all the rest of it was, but I mean, you raised 4 points, but I'm suggesting that our main point.
I think that the more flexibility you give as an input, the better you are. So making it short and simple like that, I think, is a great idea. No.
Right. The first part of it was we want the language of the ordinance changed as well, and I think that was the first.
You want mediation.
Maybe you
defined.
Could clarify this for me, because I don't know that I don't. How would you define mediation? I don't know. Who would define it?
But right now, in the ordinance, there is no mention of it at all.
So we want to add it to the ordinance.
Okay. So you'd like it defined. I'm just saying, I don't know what it means. You know, what when we say that we would like something to be offered and encouraged, what do we mean? What do we mean by that? Who's going to define what mediation is?
We would defer to
the staff.
We wouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay. But someone would.
Okay.
If they took it seriously.
Anyway, I would also like the idea that mediation is part of the RAC process not to be included. I think that if we want, you know, isn't that what we talked about? That we weren't going to make that part of our process.
Part of the process here at the
Yes.
Hearing,
yes.
Right, of the review here.
Yeah.
Say again.
We were not going to speak to the fact that there may be some mediation here. We're going to leave that language out. That was one of the things that I discussed was, shouldn't we include that in the language? And then we all decided that that probably was not such a good idea. We want to have some flexibility.
Yes.
So that then leaves it as a pre-RAC hearing issue in the ordinance.
Yep.
And the ordinance is quiet to mediation occurring here.
Got it.
Okay, so mediation is offered and encouraged prior to the RAC hearing.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. The second one is RAC decisions to be binding for tenant initiated non-exempt units.
Correct. That's fine.
Okay. And the last one, add language that if the program administrator receives an agreement, then the case is considered closed and withdrawn from the RAC process.
Right. I think you know what section that goes to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we discuss that too? Mm-hmm.
So we started with 8 points and 1.3.
Yeah. We should probably be saying what section.
Well, we decided some of them were non-issues. Don't do it again.
650, 75D.
So, When do we have public comment on a motion?
Right now. Now, before we start.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure I captured.
Yeah, so, okay, so we have two public speakers. Can we start with Eric, please?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I guess first I'd like to say I really appreciate, I don't know where I should.
Wherever.
Wherever you want.
You go to the podium if you like.
We have a podium.
We moved the podium.
Over there.
We moved the podium.
Okay, didn't even see it, I'm sorry. Really appreciated this process. What I heard overall was that you guys want more definition, and that's probably the main point that I brought into this. As I've watched this process over the last 6 or 8 months, I've seen you guys playing with different ideas and thoughts and trying out this and trying out that, and now you have some experience under your belt and you're trying to refine that into what it really should be. And I'd say one of the real weaknesses of the process has been that unsteadiness. So I really appreciate you guys trying to create some defined rules. One of my favorite statements is, good fences make good neighbors. The better rules you have, the better process and the better we're going to build. On the mediation issue, I'll say that the meetings I have been to, I've honestly never seen the RAC process and your mediation process work. I agree with the assessments that by the time they get here, they're set in their positions. They want to get through this hearing and get to their side of it. The staff has worked with them already for a month and they're done. So I agree with people who are saying that there isn't much value added to having a mediation style. It's not mediation, and I think that mediation is a pretty well understood legal term. It's in legal contracts that you are going to go to mediation if there's a dispute. So some lawyers somewhere know exactly what mediation is. So I really agree with that. But I do want to say that if it's going to be mediation before, it really needs to be some kind of a professional mediation. Again, this process has evolved, but 6 or 8 months ago, I got complaints from tenants that staff were really pushing them to accept an agreement that they felt was on the landlord's side. Now, that means that somewhere in the middle between, and it felt to the person on one side like it was a big push toward the other person's side, but they felt pushed. And my understanding of mediation is that it never pushes, it always pulls. So that's, now I haven't gotten that feedback lately. So, you know, again, everything is evolving and it probably depends on the person. But I really would encourage, if it's going to be mediation before, it's some kind of a city-sponsored, independent, and it's going to be very hard to find someone that everybody agrees is independent, but independent mediator who is doing that. And I also have, again, this is staff feedback. My understanding is that the tenant and the landlord get brought into a room together, and then they're told about the law and all the different options. I've gotten feedback from several tenants that they have to sit there and listen to AHA staff tell the landlord how they can no cause evict if they want to. How they, you know, all of their different options, which you've got to do and you've got to be transparent, and I understand that point, but it's really hard for a tenant who was on the edge of losing their home to hear the supposed objective mediation staff lay out what the landlord can do to get rid of them. So my suggestion would be make that two different meetings and bring mediation in later because it's just painful. And I'm guessing, although I don't talk to landlords, that landlords would probably feel the same way when you're laying out for the tenant how they can deal with the process. I don't know. So that was on the mediation. On the thing that got rejected, having to do with a rebuttable assumption of fair and reasonable profit. I just want to bring that back up again, and I want to emphasize the word rebuttable. It doesn't lock you into anything. There's no intention or interpretation of this that says that if in 2015 the landlord was losing $100 a month, that they are locked into losing $100 a month plus inflation for the rest of time. Right? It is a rebuttable presumption, not a formula. In fact, the paragraph says, you may not use a formula. So it gives you that flexibility that you guys have used. I've watched you use it. Oh, I see, you haven't raised the rent in 15 years. We're gonna have to do a little bit more than 5% to try to get you caught up, but we're not gonna give you the 30% you're asking because that's not reasonable. So the fair and reasonable return that they were getting 15 years ago, nobody thinks is what you're supposed to be using now. And so I just want to bring that back up. I want to put it back in as a possibility. That rebuttable assumption gives you that flexibility. I think you guys have talked about this, and I want to emphasize it. A lot of tenants are not coming to RAC. You guys have talked about that, and I really appreciate that it bothers you. That was great to hear. I really, really appreciate that. You got to understand, the landlord has usually talked to a tenant before they ever came to the Housing Authority. They've proposed this, they've talked about it. Can we just do this, and you and I have this agree, and we don't even have to go to the Housing Authority? Can we just, you know, come to an agreement, that kind of thing? By the time it gets to that, that's already an escalation on the landlord's part to take it to the Housing Authority. Tenants are very, very intimidated. And it costs them their relationship with the person who owns the deed to their house. If you actually are one of the people here who owns a house, think about it. You're going to mediation with somebody who owned the deed to your house or had the pink slip for your car, and that's the person that you're going to take to court and try to convince to not raise your monthly payments. It's very intimidating. So I really did appreciate the giving teeth below 5%. I'm sure the devil is in the legal details there, but on the point of these people who are doing mass increases for the month to month, the language that could work there, in my opinion, is that there should not be a penalty for accepting a month-to-month lease. You may not have put in a penalty for that. I don't buy the corporate argument. And they said, sitting here, that way, that the reason they do it is for stability and because it lowers their costs. If they have a lot of units, if they had people moving in and out all the time, it would increase their costs. So the reason they do it is to lower their costs. And I think that it would not be unreasonable, perhaps not something RAC could do, perhaps it's something the city could do, to prohibit penalties for a tenant asking or insisting on a less a month-to-month lease. And it's common practice. It's what, like you said, almost every other landlord does anyway, so it's not that weird a thing to ask for. Binding decision, that question that came up, my only thought on that was, if you guys made a binding decision, and then they left the room, and the landlord said, I really need more money, and the tenant said, okay, they've already raised the rent once, that is a second rent increase within 12 months, and therefore would not be allowed. If they said, I'll give you to you for less, there's nothing in any of these laws that says anything about a rent decrease. You're free to give as many rent decreases as often as you like, in any quantity you choose. But if they left the room after a binding decision, within 12 months, there's another rent increase for any reason. That would be a double increase within 12 months in a specific period. My interpretation of that law. And then closed cases data. Boy, do we need that data. I gotta tell you, it is odd for me, as the tenant advocate that I am, that I very often agree with Mr. Schreiner. But this is one of those times. I agreed with your interpretation. I think it's very, very right. Once the landlord has filed the petition with the Housing Authority, it is now a public process. This is a business decision. By its nature, is also public. It's not a private agreement. It's not between you and me deciding what I'm going to sell you my shoes for. This is a person who is in business, hopefully has the appropriate business license, and is engaging in a commercial transaction. That's not private. And once they come to the Housing Authority and file the papers, that's not the whole process now is public. And boy, does it look bad when you have a case opened to the city and it gets closed, but we won't tell you what happened. It just doesn't look transparent. It looks like people are hiding things. I think that what you found in there is exactly right, and it's very open to an alternate interpretation. We don't need any more details than it was closed for this level of rent increase and this length of lease. And that's not invading anyone's privacy. That's just disclosing what the outcome of a publicly filed cases. And we really need that data, because right now we don't know. Out of those 140 cases, what is the average rent increase? We can't say. Somewhere between 5 and 10%. There's an enormous difference between 5.1% and 10%. We don't know what the average rent increase in Alameda is of the cases that have been filed with the Housing Authority. And that's not good. That goes against the intent, the data gathering intent aspect of this ordinance. So I really encourage, I don't know if it's in your power, I don't know if it's the City Council's power, but we gotta open that up somehow. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate the process.
Thank you. Okay, next we have Tori, Tom, Grim.
Tony, Taylor, not.
Tony.
You know, can I just wanna bring, I have to excuse myself for about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Right?
Sure. Oh, can we take a 5 minute recess real quick, please?
Oh, okay.
You want to do that?
Yeah, please.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
You got a break. Save that.
That's late.
No, but the question I have is, can I ask for staff clarification of public comment? I can do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
I'm
sorry.
This is why I got this job.
My
Coke is not helping.
Yeah,
my
here.
So I suspected.
Oh, it's a hunt?
I suspected you just would run a little bit late. So here we are.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.